Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, 6 Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the 6 Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the 6 Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the 6 Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4 F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And so, Sister Ruth, who do we have with us as we get rolling out here with the Gospel Bus tonight?
We have the God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right. Well, with that, we are going to just go ahead and let everybody know what kind of show we got lined up, and we'll get right into it, but we will take the prayer request here. First off, what do you got, Ruth?
Well, Emily had mentioned when she was on earlier about she'd fallen, and I'd like to pray that, because she's got some pain, I'm sure, because I know what it's like to fall. I've done enough of that, so I will just pray that she gets better, because I know how she feels, because I haven't been feeling too well myself. So the Lord's with us all, and even you sometimes, honey, you get tired or whatever. You know how it feels. So, I think I'll just let it go on at that, and I'm complete.
Okay, and of course, always, as always, the situation in Israel, praying for all our government leaders, they seek after God, not after man, our military, and of course, all our medical personnel, no matter what medical field they may be in, our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, all our, that of course is our first responders, then of course our military, and of course all our sick and shut in, no matter where they may be, all our medical personnel, and of course the lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell. And so we're going to have you give us a prayer, Ruth, then I'll give us a rundown on our program today.
Sounds good, okay. All right, dear precious Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with Emily. She hasn't been feeling well, and also pray for her mother. She hasn't been feeling good, and neither have I. But you're on the throne, Lord, and I'm just going to let you take care of it. I know you can, so you have the power to do that. And so just help us on our program tonight that somebody gets blessed and gets saved, and it just has a wonderful time. So we just want to praise and bless your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, tonight we do have a great show lined up. Some great gospel music for you to boogie with and dance to, sing to, what have you. And then, of course, we got a good message from our Holiness Bibles for the Blind archives that we're going to spotlight tonight. And if you wish to get a copy, all you have to do is go to holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4 F-O-R, theblind.org. Once you've clicked enter and you got it up there, the page, you click sermons, click, after you click sermons, you click holiness, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S, holiness. And then once you click that category, you go down to where you see Paul, persecutor to preacher. Paul, persecutor to preacher. You click that, and you'll be given all the details on the message tonight, which is, that's the title tonight, Paul, persecutor to preacher. And you'll be given all the details, and you could go on that page. It'll give you all the details, and you'll be able to download a free copy right there.
And if you wish to make a love offering, you could do that as well. On that page, there is a love offering link. And if you choose to do so, that love offering link will take you to our secure PayPal page where you can use your credit card and or PayPal account to give a secure donation. But it is not required in order to get a copy of Paul Persecutor to Preacher. You can just download it for completely free right there on that page. And then after that, Tim will be attempting again to see if he can continue with his role as he's continuing to have a very good role here. Only missed one since he started. Will he continue? And he will be continuing with the song and poem. Will he continue? And then after that, it will be Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Where you be taking us tonight, Ruth?
We're going to study about other planets.
Ooh, so other planets, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll tell us about the little green men and
silly.
And all our Martian friends, how they come to Earth, you know. And maybe talk about the book, The War of the War of the Worlds.
No, we're not going to bring in the Martian.
What was his name that did that?
Yeah, you mean The War of the Worlds. That was, there's some guy that did a lot of movies.
Let me think. Wells.
Yeah, Orson Welles, yeah.
Orson Welles, who did that book, as well as the late, did that radio program by the same title. Had a lot of people panicking, think it was real Martians came to Earth.
Oh, yeah,
well,
they really thought that was happening.
So we're going to see if Ruthie's message tells us all about little green men, maybe some Venetian women. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We'll find out. Maybe she'll tell us tonight, why is it men are from Mars, women are from Venus? Maybe she can explain why that's true and that why all of us are on this Earth, because we've got all mixed up here because we came from our two
so
different
funny.
Planets. Okay. Anyway, maybe we all came on funny little spaceships.
Bible prophecy, darling.
Maybe the men came in flying saucers and the women came in funny little space cruisers and we all landed here and fell in love. I don't know. Anyway.
I definitely fell in love with you.
So, anyhow.
All right.
Whoa. Anyway, but she'll be talking about other planets. We'll find out tonight if that's what she's going to talk about, is the little green men.
Not really.
So we'll find out. Take me to your leader. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get a six laughing at this when he listens back.
So we'll find out she's talking about take me to your leader. And so we'll find out tonight. And then after that, we will come back, open up the mics for any questions, comments, or any final prayer requests at the end of the show. So we will get right into the show then. So here we go.
Okay, darling. All right, catch you in a little bit. Love you.
The biggest pipe organ of any church in town. But over in the Amen corner of that church sat Brother Al, and he insisted every Sunday on singing in the choir. His voice was cracked and broken. Age had touched his vocal cords, and nearly every Sunday he'd get behind and miss the word. Well, the choir got so flustered, the church was told and fined that Brother Al must stop his singing, or the choir was going to resign. So the pastor appointed a committee, I think it was three or four, and they got in their big fine car and drove up to Irish Door. they found the choir's great trouble sitting there in an old armchair, and the summer's golden sunbeams lay upon his snow-white hair. Said York, we're here, dear brother, with the vestry's approbation to discuss a little matter that affects the congregation. Now, we don't want no singing except what we've thought. The newest tunes are all the rage, the old ones stand for naught. And so we have decided, are you listening, brother? You'll have to stop your singing, it's messing up our choir. The old man raised his head, a sign that he did hear. And on his cheek the three men caught the glitter of a tear. His feeble hands pushed back the locks as white as silky snow. And he answered the committee in a voice both soft and low. I've sung the Psalms of David nearly 80 years, said he. They've been my staff and comfort all along life's weary way. Sorry I disturbed the choir. I guess I'm doing wrong. But when my heart is filled with praise, I can't keep back a song. I wonder if beyond the tide that's breaking at my feet, in that far-off heavenly temple where my master I shall meet. Yes, I wonder if when I try to sing the songs of God up high, I wonder if they'll kick me out up there for singing in heaven's choir. A silence filled the little room. The old man bowed his head. The committee went on back to town, but Brother Iyer was dead. The choir missed him for a while, but he was soon forgotten. A few churchgoers watched the door, but the old man entered not. Far away his voice is sweet, and he sings his heart's desire, where there are no church committees and no fashionable choir. Let me hide myself in
thee. I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye will there be spoken, and time won't matter. Then I will take my heavenly flight to Beulah Land. I'm longing.
City
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8.
Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
Well, when was it the last time you heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And did you answer that call in the same way Isaiah did, saying, here am I, send me? Well, God told you that in his word in chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all nations. He told you to go already. He already told you to go. No matter who you are, big or small, male or female, rich or poor, he said, go ye therefore into all nations. It is your job to go. He already said to go. He has already sent you. So, go. He is sending you. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Amen.
way down to the very last drop. Oh, the water in the well to swirl by. And I had found myself looking at the bottom of the well, and my soul was stone bone dry. For just one drink of living water, my soul began to cry. And as my prayer went on up, Jesus filled up my cup, and I just came by here to testify. It's a cool, clear, everlasting living water. If you're dying of thirst, I recommend that you try some of that cool, clear, everlasting living water. Can bring a poor old dead soul alive. Oh, it's a good drinking, thirst quenching, cool, clear, everlasting living water. Nothing else can try.
Thank you.
It hurt my dad to see me start off in patched-up blue jeans. But Dad, today that's the style. My boy won't go anywhere without his patched-up jeans. They're old and faded, and they look like they've never been cleaned. And I remember Sunday school, and how I'd get mad when you'd make me go. But now, I can see why that was so important to you. Because we prayed together, and we stayed together. Now, my dad was a man that knew his own mind. And I remember when he'd call us all together, and he'd say, "Family, it's loving time." His world was built around Mom and the four kids they raised. And I can still see the smile that always came on Mama's face each time Dad would say the table grace. The house was filled with lots of noise, but when we got too loud, Dad would always say, "Oh, those devilish boys." There was three of us. The fourth was a girl. Well, you know Dad had a choice. A favorite, that is. But he'd say, "I love one just as much as I love the other. Oh, would you look at her? She looks just like her mother." I've heard a lot of other people talk about my dad and talk about the things that he'd done when he was young. Because I might be a little bit prejudiced, but he was the best in the county when it came to a contest in games. Because he could outrun, outbox, outshoot any of the professionals that came to town. Now, my dad was a good man. And his family came first. And he did his best for us. And I know sometimes he worked till it hurt. The Depression wasn't an easy time. A dollar a day was the pay back then. I remember my dad leaving the house before daybreak and walking 14 miles to get to work without being late. Oh, I guess everyone remembers the good times and the bad. Good times were happy, bad times were sad. And when I'd do something wrong, he'd straighten me out with his hand or a belt out behind the house. But now, Mama didn't raise her voice or fuss when we get out of hand. She'd just say, "Now that's enough." And if we didn't obey, she'd tell Dad what was wrong. And without a question, Dad would lay it on. While we picked cotton, chopped cotton, stacked hay, pulled corn. Well, that's the way we made our living back then on the farm. But things are different now. Because it's like a new world we're living in. Everything's a mad rush. Not enough time for friends. And when I think of my dad, it makes me proud, you see. Because he gave so much of himself to make life easier for me. Now, not everyone is lucky as I am. To have a father who wanted the best for me out of life. And now when I hear a church bell chime, it's almost like my dad saying, "Family, it's loving time." So why don't you go to your dad right now and tell him you love him.
And I'll bet you a dollar against a dog biscuit that it will mean more to him than any gift that money could ever buy. Because, you know, you can't ever repay for all the things he's done for you. And the best way I know to let him know is just say, Daddy, I love you.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Eshtubal Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You could also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you've got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Gruver and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Timothy Gruver coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week, and the word for this week is holy. And the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh, kadosh. K is in Kelly, A is in Adam, D is in Daniel, O, S, H, kadosh. It's holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And it's my prayer, dear listener, that if you have yet by faith to behold your eyes spiritually the King, the Lord of hosts, who is kadosh, 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 holy, 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 that you will get a glimpse of his holiness by faith this day by the power working in your heart, and that you will see yourself as you are apart from him, undone, unclean, and that you will look to him for the cleansing that comes through the holy kadosh blood of the Lamb, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Until next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
I recall the night that you came into this world. I couldn't believe the doctor when he said it's a little girl. Oh, I said, now, Doc, you must be wrong. You see, I want a boy. Then he laid you in my arms, and my heart sang with joy.
We're all
triple on the corner. You pass me on the street, I wouldn't be out here begging if I had enough to eat. And don't think I don't notice that I rise never mean. I lost my wife and a little boy. Someone crossed that yellow line. The day we laid them in the ground is the day I lost my mind.
Yeah.
You know you could really put somebody's eye out with that thing.
About this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Five. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral? It was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
I want to ask you a question. Have you ever thought how to grow, really grow as a Christian? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here, we see a man named Saul of Tarsus. He had gone to the University of Tarsus, the University of Jerusalem. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee as touching the law. He was a ringleader among the intelligentsia. He knew the scriptures. He had studied under Dr. Gamaliel, the world's leading theologian and scholar of that day. He was so zealous that he was persecuting the church. And by his own testimony, he was killing Christians. You might call him the Hitler of his day, or the Idi Amin of his day, the awful, terrible tyrant of his day. He was the one who was holding the clothes of young Deacon Stephen as he was being stoned to death. Shortly after that, Saul was converted to the faith that he had once destroyed. From that moment, his life was completely changed. Because on that Damascus road, a light came out of heaven, and a voice of God himself spoke, and Saul was blinded, as you recall, and bewildered. Then he looked up toward heaven, and he said, Lord, what would you have me do? He was led by hand to a person by the name of Ananias, who said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, appeared unto me and said that you would receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that very moment, Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, started exalting Christ instead of persecuting his followers. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. First, he turned his back on the things that were gained to him. He had high social position. He was esteemed by some of the leaders of the Jewish nation. He was a disciple of Gamaliel. He was a highly educated man. He had real natural ability. You might say that Paul had everything that a man could want. But now, he said, those things which I counted gain, I now count loss for Christ. You see, a change had taken place in him. He said, I count all things but loss for the sake of Christ. Friend of mine, I want you to see that here is the secret of a life of real self-denial and worldly renunciation. You may have a form of godliness, but you will not have the real thing unless you've embraced something which completely revolutionizes your estimate of things temporal. Now, what do you require in order to revolutionize your whole career? Just exactly what St. Paul obtained. He sees things as they really were. What have you and I given up or considered loss for the cause of Jesus Christ? Anything? Your social position in society? Your social pride? Your habit of being a member of the elite? Have you ever thought what Jesus Christ means or should mean to you and to me? Now, I'm not asking you to be a hermit or go into some shell. I'm asking you to fall in love with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ whom Paul met on that Damascus road. Then, give your talents, your abilities, give your money, give your time to him, for him to do with your life what he really wants to do with it. If God has bestowed you with natural talents, use them for God. Don't count them loss, but count your worldly use of them as loss. If God has given you social position, don't count that loss, but count your habit of pride streaming out of it as loss. If God has given you money, don't count that loss, but count the custom of spending it on your own luxuries and self-indulgences as loss. The law of expenditure that you've been living under, or the habits of extravagance, count that loss by all means and turn away from it. But the things themselves which God has given to you, count them as something that you have to use for him to whom your all belongs. So, it was with St. Paul. He didn't become an idiot because he became a Christian. On the contrary, he continued being a philosopher till his dying day. Paul must have been ranked among the most remarkable thinkers who ever existed. He constantly had before him this one thing I do. Now, let's look at Paul from another standpoint. Here's an outstanding leader, a brilliant man. When he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole life will take on new meaning, a new significance. So how is he going to grow as a Christian? Have you ever thought about how we should grow as a Christian? We take that step of faith, and we're converted. That's when we're really born again. But where do we go from there? Well, after Paul left Damascus, he went into Arabia, where he did three things, and I want to pass those on to you. First, he prayed. Secondly, he studied the Word of God. And third, he witnessed to everyone about his new friend, the Lord Jesus, that he met on the Damascus road. He prayed because there was no one else to help him except the Lord himself. And also, if Jesus Christ himself saw the necessity, the need of prayer, so do you need it, and I need it. Yes, prayer is important. Jesus prayed all night. He prayed when it was popular. He prayed when it was unpopular. He prayed in the nighttime. He prayed in the daytime. He prayed on the cross until he was crucified and died. We too must pray. Now, if there's anything in your life that you cannot honestly pray about, it must be wrong and you ought not to do it. It's not a question of just being religious on Sunday morning or once or twice a week or when we are surrounded with Christians. But we are to pray about everything we do. If we cannot pray about it, then we shouldn't do it. The Bible says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean go off and hide somewhere? No. Be in an attitude of prayer at all times. times. In my years of traveling, I've been on six different airplanes that caught on fire. Surely I prayed. I faced some very difficult situations in my life. You bet I prayed. Now, prayer is not a convenience. Prayer, many times, is to thank the Lord for his goodness and grace and his love and mercy and forgiveness. It's not always gimme, 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 or when I'm in a tight spot to do my praying. Prayer is praise as well as making a request. And secondly, we are to read God's word and study it. Frankly, it's hard work for me to study. Maybe it isn't for you, but it's hard for me to study. I have to discipline myself to study. That's where that word comes from, disciple, a disciplined person. It means that you study. Study your Bible. Study the infallible word of God. And that word infallible means without error, by the way. The Bible says, young man, wherewithal shall you cleanse your way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. The Bible says in another place that we are to eat up the word. In other words, you need physical food for physical life, strength. You also need spiritual food for your spiritual life and growth. It's impossible for us to depend upon yesterday's victories or blessings or benefits. We must study his word and find out what he wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. It's very important for you to study the Bible. It's much more important to eat spiritual food than it is physical food. The third thing the Apostle Paul did was to witness, to share his faith. I think one of the biggest problems today is that our church people are not witnessing. We are not sharing our faith. The church today needs to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and share our faith with our lost neighbors and friends. How else will they know unless you and I share our faith with them? So, the great Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, humbles himself, becomes obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells us how we too can grow as a Christian. Now, some of you listening to me today may not even be Christians. You might go to church. Perhaps you give your money once in a while. You're probably morally clean and upright. But down in your heart, you know that you've never been converted. You've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You ought to take that first step of faith. Receive him right now into your heart. If you will, by an act of your faith, look up and say, oh God, I realize I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I do believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I will accept him right now as my Savior. Oh, I beg you to do it today. What joy, what peace, what happiness, what victory accepting today. God bless you. And shall we pray, Father, oh, seal this message into the hearts of every Christian, how we may grow in the things of God. And those who are not Christians, may this be their spiritual birthday today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Yeah. my hand to thee. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is looking for Christians, looking for men, women, boys and girls who will allow the invisible to become visible. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christendom gives opportunity for self-examination. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are created with the ability to stretch our hands to him. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, and through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe, for comfort in the time of sorrow, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. For relief in the time of suffering, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For guidance in the time of decision, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For courage in the time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in the time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
Ripped with riot, incited by my wicked diet. We are what we eat, said the wise old man. And Lord, if that's true, then I'm a garbage can. I want to rise on judgment day, it's plain, but at my present weight, I'll need a crane. So grant me the strength that I may bear witness to the president's council on physical fitness and an oleo margin on matter, for the road to hell is spread with butter. And cream is cursed, and cake is awful, and Satan is hiding in every waffle. Beelzebub is a chocolate drop, and Lucifer is a lollipop. Give me this day my daily slice, but cut it thin and toast it twice. I pray each night with heavy prayers, deliver me from chocolate eclairs. And when my days of trial are done, and my war with malted milks is won, let me stand so proud with the saints in heaven in a shining robe, size 37. I can do it, Lord, if you show to me the virtues of lettuce and celery. If you'll teach me the evil of mayonnaise, the sinfulness of hollandaise, and pasta in milanaise, and potatoes a la linanaise, and crisp fried chicken from the south, Lord, if you love me, shut my mouth.
All right. right, Tim. Now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Yes, Kenny, I can give you the answer on this one. But and the theme could be summed up between the two as this. Let not your belly be your god. Let your moderation be known unto all men, giving preeminence to the spiritual over the physical. Manna.
And are you sure 100% that is your final answer?
Yes, Kenny, that is my final answer.
Well. Ooh-wee, Tim, I see what you did. You just took your foot off the gas only temporary just to shift into overdrive is what you did. You got that 100% correct. That's what you did. Woo-hoo, here you go. 18 for 20, here we go, rolling again.
All right, Kenny, into overdrive we are. Let's go on.
Hallelujah, and now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Thomas.
Entitled Other Planets. In July of 1969, most of the civilized world rejoiced when three men from the United States traveled a quarter of a million miles to the moon, and two of these men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, landed on that distant planet. Many of you heard the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, talk with Armstrong and Aldrin, congratulating them to be the first human beings to land on the moon. In 1969, I was 10 years old, so you got an idea how old I'm getting. The moon is mentioned 69 times in the Bible. It is the Earth's satellite. It's a dark, opaque body, the ruler of the night and the four seasons. The half of the moon turned toward the sun is always bright, and the other half illuminated and therefore not visible from the Earth. While the moon is traveling once completely around the Earth, different regions of the illuminated half are turned toward us, causing the different phases of the moon. Just as the sun has a north and south motion in a period of a year, so the moon has a similar motion in a period of a month. It rises about 50 minutes later from day to day in the month's cycle. It travels toward the east among the stars and makes a complete revolution each month. It is the nearest to Earth of all celestial bodies, except meteors and an occasional comet. Being about 221,000 miles away at the nearest point and 253,000 miles at the farthest position of its monthly cycle around the Earth, the moon is the distant body that has intrigued man down through the centuries. No doubt you as a child growing up, the same as I, heard about the man in the moon. We were told on some occasions that the moon was made of green cheese. how silly. Naturally, over the years, in his eager quest to understand the planets which made up this world, man has endeavored to know more about the moon. Well, you need not search any longer because the Bible contains the answer as to what the moon is, why was it brought into being, its primary purpose and function, so you can put your mind at rest. No doubt you've heard scientists say, as I have, that all light comes from the sun. Of course, we know that is incorrect, even though some famous scientists have said so. Because when we delve into the early book of the Bible, Genesis, we find the sun, moon, and stars were made on the fourth day of recreation. Scripture, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Genesis 1:16 in your King James Version Bible. Please bear in mind that two conditions prevailed upon the earth prior to the making of the sun, moon, and stars, and they were darkness and light. In other words, total darkness covered this earth at one time, and it was necessary for God to make light because darkness permeated the entire universe. Scripture, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5 in your King James Version. This portion of Scripture tells us that at one time in the ages past, in the beginning, this earth was covered with darkness, the same darkness that the astronauts saw away up in the heavens thousands of miles on their journey to and from the moon. That darkness at one time enveloped the entire universe and there was no light. Yet God created light and he created it so man could have 12 hours of light in which to work and make his livelihood.
and then 12 hours of darkness in which man could retire to his place of rest to be with his family, there to sleep and replenish his physical body for the next 12 hours of daylight. The dividing of darkness by using created light took place on the first day of creation. We don't have to guess. It's written in the Word of God, and anybody in his right mind who has any sense of spiritual values acknowledge the Bible as the Word of God, and we believe we can rely upon this book. Genesis 1, verses 3 through 5 in your King James Version Bible. We come to the fourth day of recreation. We find a new situation developing because God is going to do something differently than he ever done before. Please bear in mind, light was made on the first day. And we come to the fourth day of recreation. We have God creating two great light holders, the sun and the moon. The sun is going to rule the earth by day, and the moon is going to rule the earth by night. Purpose of the sun is to reflect light during the day, and the purpose of the moon is to reflect the night light at night. Please bear in mind, this truth is very carefully set forth in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. In this portion of scripture, we have God giving to the earth, a mankind, a solar covenant. This solar covenant was made between God and man. It promised man that he would have eternal seasons of fruitfulness, and they would continue forever as long as the solar system endures. In this connection between, definite promises were made to various outstanding personalities in the early portions of the Old Testament scriptures. Now notice the purpose for the sun and moon is there would be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. This word lights means light holders or luminaries. The object of two great lights is mentioned because they were to be the rulers of the day and the rulers of the night, regulating their length, the amount of light and darkness, and the intensity of their heat and cold. Scripture says the greater light is to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. This was the order of the recreation. In other words, the greater light, the sun, was made to supply heat and reflect the light which God originally made. And the lesser light, the moon, was made to reflect light on the earth during the night in varying degrees. The moon is the lesser light because it is not a ball of fire like the sun. It reflects the light during the nighttime. Therefore, it must be made out of some kind of substance that will have reflecting qualities. Probably sort of like a prism. Examinations of the rocks brought to the earth from the moon have proven that the rock formation the scientists have examined has reflecting qualities. During the spacewalk of Armstrong and Aldrin, one of them made mention of the fact that the surface of the moon was this crunchy type of material having reflecting qualities about it. We remember the TV pictures were extremely bright in areas where the surface of the moon was not protected by the shadow of the moon landing module. Meaning to say, the sun reflecting the light to the moon and the moon in turn reflecting it to the earth was able to do so because when God originally created the moon, he made it of a quality that would have reflecting capabilities. There's a sevenfold purpose. Number one, to divide day and night and give light to darkness. Two, be for signs. Three, be for seasons. Four, be for days. Five, be for years. Six, give light on the earth. And seven, rule day and night eternally. In other words, there is no scripture which tells us the moon is to ever be destroyed or done away with. Please read this one verse of scripture relative to what we have just listened to on your thing. Mm-hmm. Scripture, when the white earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Genesis 8:22 in your King James Version Bible. In other words, in this portion of scripture, we have the promise of 10 eternal things, and it is, number one, the earth shall never cease being in existence except during its destruction by fire, 2 Peter 3:10 through 12, number two, there will always be living creatures, three, seed time will always exist, four, harvest will always exist, five, we'll have cold weather, six, summertime, seven, winter, 8 days, 9 nights, and 10 generations of people living on the earth. By way of explanation, may I hasten to say that the earth will be temporarily destroyed with fire during the White Throne Judgment, at which time it will not exist for a short period of time, because the old earth as we know it today and the present heavens will be destroyed by fire, and then God will make new heavens and a new earth, Revelation 21:1, Isaiah 65:17. And we have the promise that the moon will never be destroyed throughout the countless ages of God's eternities, will be on the new earth, that God's new inhabitation of mankind will live eternally. It's true, strange things have happened to the moon, and peculiar things will happen to the course of man's living on this earth and his use of the facilities of the moon. In the days of Joshua, the Bible tells us the moon stood still the same time the sun did, meaning to say that through the miraculous power of God, the entire solar system was locked in the stop position and did not move until God's servant commanded it to do so. Scripture, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, stand still in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Joshua 10, verses 12 and 13. The Bible tells us that during the great time of trouble upon the earth, known as Jacob's trouble, the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The reference for that is Joel 2 and verse 10. In the same chapter, it further states, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. That's Joel 2 and verse 31. Commenting on that same time of trouble, the gospel writer Matthew expresses himself in this fashion. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Matthew 24:29, KJV. John, writing in the book of Revelation, commenting on the same time of trouble, has this to say. There's a scripture, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not, for a third part of it, and the light, the night likewise. Revelation 8:12. This portion of scripture says that during 4 hours of a 12-hour period, the moon will not shine. That's a prophecy by John, sometimes known as the Revelator, as he foretells what will happen in the tribulation period. He says the planets will become darkened, much like the phenomenon that happened in the day of Egypt in Moses' time when he was endeavoring to persuade Pharaoh to let God's people go. Therefore, the purpose of the sun is to provide heat to this planet as well as reflect light to the earth during the day, and the purpose of the moon, which is a cold mass of matter with reflecting qualities, is not to supply heat but reflect light during the night, and the purpose of the stars is to likewise reflect light. Basically, that's their physical purpose in the sense that they supply a service to this planet. Now, on the other hand, we know that the sun and moon are responsible for regulating 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. It's through them and their cycles of movement that we have our four seasons as well as our calendar, which enables man to keep track of time. There's no life on the moon and naturally no life on the sun because it is a candle as fall of fire, and of course no life on the stars. Over the years, there have been many questions raised as to whether there is life on other planets. Well, explorations of Mars have brought new facts to us, giving a dim possibility of physical life on that distant planet. Through the Mariner probes, most scientists have concluded that Mars is a dead mass of matter. It's lifeless, and chances are there is no Earth-type life elsewhere in the solar system. So it raises a question and at the same time confirms it. The Earth must be the only planet inhabited. Stands to reason that the Earth is the only inhabited planet because the Apostle Paul makes one statement in the New Testament which tends to substantiate this query. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels, outer space and to men. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying that we are exhibited as a spectacle to the world of men and to angels above. We're demonstrating to men and angels the sufferings of Christ and giving a theater production of sin and its manifold consequences. Let's examine the purpose of there being life on the earth. First of all, God placed a habitation of physical life on the earth to start the reproduction cycle. There's no record that he put life on any other planet. We only have the record that he put life on this planet. We're told in the book of Genesis that fish and fowl life were created on the first day of recreation, and then we came to the sixth day of recreation. We find God making man in our image, indicating that the triune Godhead were present, and God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Genesis 1:26. This took place on the sixth day. Next, we find God establishing a moral law with mankind who happened to be Mr. and Mrs. Adam, because he had made Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then he had taken a rib from Adam's side and made a woman and blessed them, told them to multiply and replenish the earth. The Bible says that God planted a garden, and this garden contained all manner of trees bearing fruits and nuts. God gave man the privilege of partaking of any of those trees except one tree. And relative to that tree, God said, "For the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Genesis 2:17. God was going to test man because God, having only populated one planet, the many planets in his universe, he was going to start a process of selecting a group of people who would voluntarily love and serve him throughout his eternities. So he started by telling man that he can't eat of one tree, the garden. Of course, we know mankind. You tell him not to do anything, and immediately he endeavors to do it. He's made that way, and he's rebellious. That's proven by the wet paint sign painters put up when they're doing a good job or a new job. Invariably, people go up and stick their finger in the fresh paint to see if it's really fresh. Even though the painter said it's fresh, says, stay away from it. God said, don't eat of the tree, and Mr. Adam, immediately after his wife enticed him, ate of the fruit of the tree, and the Bible says he died spiritually in that 24-hour day. In other words, he died spiritually in the 24-hour day, and he died physically in the 1,000-year day. This was man sinning the original sin. This was Adam being the disgrace of all sin upon the entire human race. Please read carefully what the Bible has to say about Adam's original sin. For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. First man is of the earth, earthly. The second man in the Lord is the Lord of heaven. Okay, from heaven, yes. Praise God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. Let's praise the Lord and go on. As in the earthy, which as they also are earthly, and so is the heavenly, so as I say also they are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, and add also 45-49 of the verses there. This portion of scripture is saying that Adam failed God. God put life on the planet Earth. God stocked that planet with fish, fowl, animals, and God planted a beautiful garden and gave the use and dominion of all to man and his wife. God only required one thing of them, that they not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they remain in an innocent state. This was God's initial requirement for Mr. and Mrs. Adam. They disobeyed God, they sinned, they brought death upon the human race, and all of the heartbreak that ensued upon mankind since Adam's transgression started, because the first husband and wife disobeyed God. In order that this planet might not be left in chaos simply because of Adam's sin, God purposed in his heart he would send his son, the second person of the Trinity, who would come down to this world, be conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin woman who had never been with man, that a body would be prepared for Christ. Jesus would come into the world, live a perfect life, would be chased up in the hills of Asia Minor, nailed to the old rugged cross, would die on that tree, be placed in a borrowed tomb, remain there for 3 days and three nights, and then, very early on the third morning, he would arise from the dead. This is God's plan, and it came to pass just exactly as God said it would. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, walked about the earth for 40 days, appeared to over 500 people on 12 different occasions, then walked to the top of the Mount of Olives with his disciples and was taken back to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God up in heaven at this very moment. Praise the Lord. Still, this earth is the only planet that is inhabited by human life, the reason being God is using this planet as a spectacle or a demonstration of sin in all of the universe, that all of the universe might know the damning consequences of sin. By that I mean in the sense that man has contaminated the whole of creation on this planet by Adamic sin, God has made a spectacle of that sin to the universe. So he could send his son as a divine antidote for sin. When this demonstration is finally completed, then God will destroy this earth by fire, as recorded in 2 Peter 3:10, and then he will create a new earth to which will come to the redeemed people who originally lived on the first earth, and then on the new earth, God will have a representation of human life who will be there throughout the countless ages of God's eternity. Praise the Lord. Next lesson will be Germany.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app, the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app, then when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also,
If you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, as we pull into the station, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we've got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you and me.
All right. Well, any questions or comments, Ruthie? And then I'll just...
No, I just thought everything was interesting. I mean, you know, what was going on. I thought all the songs were beautiful. Especially the Quicks. Yeah, I guess I'm just hooked on the Quicks, but they really have beautiful music.
Well, I guess you didn't talk about no little green men today.
No, I wasn't going to have any green men. In fact, I think that whole book on that particular topic about other planets, Estep is the one who wrote that, and he must have did a lot of scientific research, but I just copied off of him. So.
Yeah, but basically it was talking about the moon being like another planet or planetary body, and it did mention Mars and stuff, but as he pointed out, yeah, there is no life on the other planets, which is true, but I was having fun with you.
Yeah, you're just a lot of fun, darling.
All right.
You sound like you need to go to sleep.
Yep, I think so. So why don't we let you give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here. Just remind everybody to join us for the programs tomorrow, which is The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern at this station, Station 1. And you call 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern. All right, Ruthie, go ahead.
Well, dear precious Lord, we love and praise your name, and we thank you for the fact that we live on earth and that you have created us and got us to accept Jesus. And I'm just so glad I accepted the Lord on June 20th, 1974. So just be with all the prayer requests. You know what they are. And I'm not worried you got them. And hope everybody on the show enjoyed it tonight. And so we love everyone. And God bless everyone. Love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody.
God bless.